Father, thank you. Thank you that we can come together this morning, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that we can open our heart to you, Lord, to your word, knowing that as we do that, we're going to be ministered, we're going to receive strength, we're going to, Lord, be empowered to live our lives the way you call us to. That in your word, Lord, there is life, there is healing, there is power, there is everything we need, Lord, and there is victory. So, Lord, we just, Lord, call you, Holy Spirit, Lord, to guide us into our victory for this year. Lord, that we truly may come to the experience, Lord, that this is the best year of our life. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. So we've been starting to talk about walking by faith. See, the importance of understanding the meaning of walking by faith, and how we are going to do that, is critical. Because we have a part in what God wants to do, both personally and globally. You see, we are part of his plan, but we as individuals have choices to make. And as we make those choices, we can line up with his plan or do our own thing. Evidently, if we line up with him, we are going to be working with him, be channels of his power, and we are going to benefit from his power working in us, his blessing being upon us. See, he called us to be a separated people. And there is a reason for that. Because only when we separate ourselves, we can become what God wants us to be. We have a choice. And you always, you know, the scripture always referred to, but it's not just the New Testament, the Old Testament scripture, it's applying to the New Testament as well. You know, today I put before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, then you and your children may live. And understanding that we have a part, a responsibility in God's plan, both down here and personally and globally, that what we do has an influence on others. And hopefully, our influence on others is going to be bigger than the influence of the people that don't believe on us. But we have a part even in that. Because if we are just simply exposed without connecting to our source, we cannot have the power to overcome the influence of the environment we are in. Our environment has an impact on us because it has an impact on the things on our senses, and our senses finally have an impact on the way what we believe. This is why we had to learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Walking by faith means that we walk for the things we believe instead of the things that we see around. The difference between the two is one way you walk in the spirit, the other way you walk in the flesh, because our senses is nothing else but the flesh is. We have to learn to distinguish the difference and to opt or choose the right thing. Because out of that depends the results we are going to get. Now God's desire is to bless us beyond our imagination. God's desire is wants us to guide us, to direct us, to do things, but he leaves us the choice to do it our way or his way. We are completely free. But we should not use our freedom, as Paul says, to do things in the flesh. We have to learn to walk with God. His desire is to transform us, to change us. It's very clear, for example, in Romans chapter 12. You know, at the very beginning, when it talks about, let's go there a moment. I beseech you, verse 1, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You see, it says, you know, you had to give your body as the sacrifice. You had to give your, you know, that includes the way you perceive things, the way you do things, the way you respond to things, the way your senses, you know, even give you what your senses tell you to him. And do not be conformed, or if you want, you know, want another word, influenced by what this is, but to this world. Influenced by the things around you, for your environment. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is his good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I mean, to prove what is God's will, you had to not be conformed to the world. Because if you are conformed to the world, you are not going to be able to determine what God's will is. Some people say, you know, to me, I don't know what God's will for me. Well, start lining up with God's word. And you're going to know it. It's not going to be too difficult. If you don't know, that means, you know, that there is the interference. Your heart should tell you clearly the things that you should be doing and the things that you should not be doing. Your flesh is going to tell you otherwise. And this is why it says, you know, if offer your body as a living sacrifice. Don't go by the way you feel. Don't go by the way you want, generally, you know, possibly. Just go by what the Word of God says. Be transformed. Do not let the world around you influence you, but let the Word of God influence you. Now, that's not an easy thing to do, because our senses scream to make us do things according to what they tell us to do. They have a strong voice working in us. And we have to say, learn to say no to that. See, this is, you know, understanding, for example, the idea of fasting. See, fasting is one way to deal with the senses that you have. It's not that you are impressing God. God is not impressed by your prayer and your fasting. God is impressed when you submit yourself to him and to his word rather than what you think or what you feel. And what he wants from you is when you fast, you don't fast for God, you fast for yourself. Fast to yourself because you put your body in subjection and you say to your body, you are not controlling here, I am. And the spirit within me is controlling you. And you can see the difference when you fast in the flesh and when you fast in the spirit. When you fast in the spirit, you have absolutely no problem whatsoever about not eating. Why? Because you already put your body under subjection. So you are not letting in. But the very moment when you start playing around, it becomes so difficult. You can go on fasting for ages. And I'm not saying necessarily that, you know, something everybody has to do. But what I'm saying is, you can see the impact of a position of your heart very immediately in something like that. When your heart is set on a position to walk by what you go inside, there is not even temptation attacking you to eat something. Now, it's very clear here that, you know, what God is telling me, telling us that we need to be transformed. We need to be changed. The power of God is working in us to change us. That transformation, metamorphosis actually is in Greek, which is actually means, you know, just you're completely doing something different. Doesn't happen out of your thinking. And this is one of the problems that many believers experience. They think that they just do a little Bible study and they get to some new ideas and they are changed. It's much more involved than that. It's a change in the heart that needs to be taking place. To change the heart, you have to operate on a level that is different from your mind. And to that difference, that thing, you have to learn to understand how to put the Word of God in your heart. You can agree theologically with a lot of things in the Word and see them not manifested in your life. If they're not manifested in your life, it doesn't really matter what you believe. Because it's only when you get the result that you can say, yes, according to my faith, is done unto me. So when we really start walking by faith, you are going to get the results that God says. Hey, I'm not saying that it's going to be happening instantaneously, because sometimes we have to deal with issues inside us. Issues that we are not even aware of. Issues that are really, most of the people would say that there's even a problem with them. It's just simply what you believe. It's the effect that the flesh has on you. I mean, the flesh is going to tell you, look at the mess you are, you think you're saved? But that's not the things you have to go by. Otherwise, you're never going to change. If you want to change, if you want to be transformed, you have to start accepting what Jesus has done for you and says, I believe it and I receive it and I take that because it's mine, because he has done it. This is the way you give glory to God, not going around saying, I'm a sinner. I mean, if you go around and you're a Christian, you say, I'm a sinner, you're not giving glory to God, you're giving glory to the devil, because what you are saying is the devil has power over me. If you are a believer, you should say, I'm a saint, because I've been saved, and I'm not anymore a sinner. Hello. You see, some ideas that seem so pious are actually destructive for Christianity. You cannot accept an idea that is negative about yourself without putting God down and Jesus down of what he has done, because you are saying that what he has done is not enough. Either he has done and has produced the result, or he hasn't. Hello. And if he has, then you can stand on that, even if maybe you don't see the full manifestation, because that's the way you are going to appropriate it. That's the way it's going to become real to you. You start to first agree with your mind and then allow that reality to become physically evident to you. That's the way you get healing. That's the way you get transformed. That's the way you overcome sin. That's the way you overcome anything. There is no difference the way the Spirit works. Physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. You know, it doesn't make any difference. It's the Spirit that is more powerful than all these physical things or mental things. You know, I remember, I don't know how many years I've been preaching faith for, probably 20, 30 years. You know, and it always grows. I mean, and when I say I always grows, that doesn't mean that I just, you know, it means simply that I realize myself that I'm not in faith in some areas after 30 years. You know, the point is This is that realization is so important. Because this shows that you are growing in the understanding and you can see yourself with the things that you need to break through to be able to overcome the obstacle and the limitations that you have. You see, only when you see what you have to overcome, you can overcome. Otherwise, how can you do that? And so I can see myself in some areas that I'm still negative. There can be no negativity in Christianity. Because the whole victory is there. Anything negative shows that there is lack of faith. Jesus has done it. To what degree we are agreeing with that through our thoughts, our words, and our actions. See, we have to take a stand to start with, to recognize, wait a minute, my belief here doesn't make any sense with Jesus' power resurrection. And you start rejecting those beliefs that are actually hindering your walk. Because what you believe in your heart affects your action, your behavior, your attitude, and everything you do. You know, the Bible says we are more than conquerors. And you can go around and say, oh, you know, I don't know. Well, right there, you got the problem. I mean, until you're going to be able to accept and acknowledge that you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. You know, we can try to make it in Christ Jesus, you know, means, you know, there's some time for the place in heaven. No. Christ Jesus is right now because he is in you now, not sometime in the future. If you are saved, he's working in your life right now, and right now he's making you more conqueror. And any idea, any thought, any question, any evidence, even, contrary to that, you have to start rejecting it. I mean, any evidence, not just your thoughts. You see, you start with your thoughts rejecting the evidence. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, you want to walk in faith? You better learn to do that because otherwise you are walking in the flesh. You see, you are walking according to the circumstances, according to what your eye sees, according to what other people say, but not according to what God said. How do you give glory to God? By saying what he said is true. I believe God, not the evidences. I believe God, not what people say. I believe God, not what even I see and I hear and I whatever things touch or whatever things is there. This is where you give glory to God. See, this is the way Abraham did. He gave glory to God, even if his situation was hopeless. When there was no hope, he had hope. What does it mean that? That he had, you know, hope is expectation of what was going to happen next. And he said, well, it's going to happen any second. I wasn't affected by it, wasn't put down, wasn't depressed because he wasn't getting a child yet. He saw the sand around him, the star in the sky, and he said, you know, that's as many as I'm going to get. I mean, just you can walk as crazy as you want. I mean, for the world. But this is not for God. God's point of view is a different one. This is why we have to learn to be conformed to the world of God and not to the world and what anybody says. And this is a walk that, you know, you're walking on water. But you have to learn to do that. And this is, you have to develop that ability. I'm talking about that because I walk that way. I can say I really, that's my effort. This is my attempt. That's what I try to do every day. But you know, trying to do it every day is not enough. You have to continuously be conscious of what's going on inside you to walk in the Spirit. Because if you just let go, you start walking in the flesh. So unless you are conscious of what's going on inside you, you're going to fall back there all the time. Because it's the natural thing to do. But we are supernatural beings. And we have to learn to walk supernaturally, the way Jesus did. You see, Jesus wasn't doing what people were saying. He said, you know, I do only what I see my Father doing. You know what means that? That he was there connected with the Father all the time. If you are not connected, you are going to fall back into the flesh. Are you following yet? You want to have victory, you better learn to do that. But that's not enough. You know, many Christians are not victorious in their Christian life. They struggle with sin after a long time. They shouldn't. They struggle with any of the other forms of the devil's trying to rob them their life, and they do not understand that God expects them to do something. See, we have a part. We are co-workers with God. God is not there doing everything that we should be doing. He expects us to play our part. Now, you know, I'm going to, this is maybe in 2 Corinthians, let me read, I had to read this because Second Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 18. Now I just had to always go back. Verse 14. Says, but their minds were blinded. Talking about the Jews. How many Christians have their mind blinded today? Anyway, we'll talk about that another time. For until this day, the same veil remained unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies in their heart, on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So, I mean, that means we can start to see things in the spiritual things. We are not anymore blind like the Jews in the Old Testament or the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 15. But even this day when Moses is read, the veil is in their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So, you know, this is clear. We should be able to start to see spiritual things clearly once we turn to the Lord. That doesn't mean we turn religious. It means we turn to the Lord. Okay, what Jesus said is the same thing. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. But you know, that means you get let go of religion. Otherwise, what you're going to do, religion is going to be the veil in front of your eyes. Just the same as the Jews. I mean, they were trying to follow God. Now, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord, there is liberty, not bondage. You see, That means there is freedom. That means we can choose. You know, lots of time people are so concerned about making decisions when instead, you know, making sure, the only thing you have to make sure is align up with the Word of God. Then you have choices. Some choices are smarter than others. Some choices have consequences. But you have choices. You know, God doesn't need you specifically. You need God. Now, when you line up with Him, you are going to flow with the river. And when you flow with the river, well, you can get wet. I mean, you get the benefit of the abundance of God. Naturally. You don't need to be there working for it. You know, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know, lots of Christians say, well, you know, you have to be poor. Where it says that? That's completely in contradiction with that scripture, isn't it? All the things you need. And more. Because God is much more abundant than we can ever think. He has everything. There is no limitations. You know, the limitation mentality is the problem, because it's based on lack instead of being on need rather than being on the abundance of God. We have to start understanding that God has everything, and He could turn around things completely for the whole world, and He will. When people, when finally believers are going to take the stand for what is true and establish the kingdom when Jesus comes back. But you know, they had to be prepared for that. That you need a certain number of people that are able to walk in the Spirit to be able for that to happen. This is why, you know, it's going to be, we are in the development stage yet. That's another story. Let me continue here. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as is in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as the Spirit of the Lord. Just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So you see, as we look at Him, and we start understanding Jesus, understanding who He is, not religion, we are going to be transformed into His image. That means we are going to start to be able to go around and do the same thing that He did. And that's what He said He would do. Greater things that I do, you shall do also, because I go to my Father. So He prepared the ground for that to happen. But it's not going to happen sometime because God in His sovereignty push it on people like that. It never happens that way in humanity. You know, when Israel was captive in Egypt, God didn't go there and says, whoosh, be free. He had to get somebody that was a bit messed up, but finally responded to God's call to go out and bring them out. And He became the channel for their freedom. See, the all God's choice is always to work through people. Through people that are willing to respond to the call that God has put on them. Now, you know, this transformation is more than what we ever can think. And He says that we are going to be like Him. You want to have an idea of what that means? Well, just go in Matthew chapter 17 and see what happened in the mountain of transfiguration. You know, the word there is used, transfiguration or transformation, is the same word, metamorphosis. Jesus was transformed before their face, in the way he really looks. I'm not going to read that, otherwise we don't, you know, just read it yourself. See, this is the way that we should look. Okay. Another time for that. How do you get there? How do you really work within yourself to obtain or to get this transformation? You know, it just, we spend most of the time walking in the world because you had to live. You had to eat, you had to work, you had to do things, you had to do different things that need to, you had to sleep. You know, these are physical things because we have a physical body and the physical body put demands on us. And when we learn to walk in the spirit, we learn to depend on our spirit in the things we do in the physical world. Okay? But, you know, we have to keep that connection with the Lord, that connection from our source. The point is that is just keep going. That is just maintenance. It's not progression. I'm going to repeat that. You see, when you walk properly, you are just in maintenance level, not in progression level, not in growth level. You can see that. I mean, you are there, you are exposed continuously, bombarded by the physical thing, and those physical things take you away from the Lord, and you are there holding on to the Lord and receiving from the Lord so that you can keep going. But if you keep going like that for too long, what happens? You get depleted. Do you see that? I mean, just get busy one day. Doesn't matter. You want to consider the Lord. After a while, you are drained up and you are worldly in your thinking. And you are fleshy in the things you do. Because you are bombarded continuously by fleshy things. So how do you do to overcome? What did Jesus do? He took himself, went to a place far away from people, and he just communed with God in an intimate way. He wasn't just begging the Father, he was receiving, he was plugging in to charge up his batteries. We need to understand how we charge up our batteries. You see, say, okay, he was praying. Yes, he was praying. But how was he praying? That's the key. You know, lots of people pray, and by the end of their prayer, are just worse than where they were before, because the only thing they pray is negative. You see, negative prayer, you can keep it for yourself. God doesn't need it, and you don't need it either. Okay, God, please, 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 and you come out with the 100 list of items that you have there, you know, and you think that's going to raise your faith? Absolutely not, because next week, instead of 25, there are 35. And they increase, keep increasing, and you have to strike them off, because after a while, you don't have enough time to list them all, so you have new ones then. That certainly doesn't help your faith. I would say that the list, put it in the garbage. Just ignore it completely. Because that doesn't help you. You see, it's when you pray positively that you make a difference. When you start praying what the Word of God says, that makes a difference. When you start confessing the victory that Jesus conquered, makes a difference. When you start appropriating by faith what He has done, that is going to lift up your faith. It's not when you start asking God, please God, it's 6 months that I've been praying for this, you know, and it's going to be another 6 months before you are going to give up on it. You see, the real prayer that is effective, and the people understood in the Old Testament, at least some of them, the prophet did, is really what we call meditation. You see, what you do when you meditate, you take a thought that has to do with what God says. And you just start making it your thoughts. And you separate yourself. You see, but you have to separate yourself from the world around you, because the world around you is going to push the things that you see, the things that you senses to you, and is going to say the opposite of what God says most of the time. So instead of going, please God, do this, you know, you start confessing what God has said that you should have. And you start appropriating it by faith, believing, yes, I'm a conqueror. And at that moment, you may not feel a conqueror all day because you aren't connected with God. But when you start saying that, at that moment, you're going to forget. Because you cannot think about two things at the same time. Praise God. See, so you start forgetting about that you feel like a failure, and you start feeling at the moment because you're convincing yourself about, you know, when you start doing that regularly and you do it enough, that feeling is going to stay with you longer and longer until you agree with God that you feel like a conqueror, not like a loser. When that happens, you're going to start making decisions that are that of a conqueror, not of a loser. Otherwise, you're going to make loser's decisions and you're going to go even deeper down in the drain. Are you following what I'm saying? See, this is a natural thing that happens the very moment when you take hold of the wrong imagination. Casting down imagination. You know, people read that scripture and they are too religious, so say, you know, any imagination you have to take down. No, doesn't say every imagination to take down. You take the imagination that exalted themselves against the knowledge of God. Those are the things that you cast down and you start lifting up your imagination. God has given you an imagination to use in a positive way. You can see that happening over and over and over, even in the Old Testament, by the people that got somewhere. God showed Abraham how to use his imagination. I mean, he gave him the trick to get his son. He not just didn't give him his son, but he gave him the methodology that he had to use to get there. Start looking at the sky every night. And when it's cloudy, look at the sun. Yeah. I mean, that was the way that he had to shift his way of thinking from a negative, needy, begging God to do something about something that wasn't happening, to the fact that he was saying, my goodness, you know, how is he going to do? I don't know, but I'm expecting it to do it because he told me. Well, anything that is written, any promise that is written in the Word, God told you. If you are a believer. Otherwise, you are not a believer. It doesn't matter how many sinner's prayer you have prayed. Because it's not a question of saying a sinner's prayer. It's a question of being a believer. See? Well, you can call yourself a believer if you don't believe. I mean, that's pretty logical, isn't it? Well, everybody believes something. The point is, so everybody's a believer. No way. See, what does it mean to be a believer? A believer means that you believe what the Word of God says. That's what means the believer. If you, in any area that you don't believe what the Word of God says, including any, take any promises and you don't believe it, you are not a believer. Wouldn't that be so? I mean, unless you got religious and says, well, you know, my pastor said I am a believer and I'm born again and this and the other thing. I don't care what the pastor said. I don't care what anybody said. Are you a believer? Well, I'm a believer to the extent that I know I'm a believer. Next week, maybe I'm looking at some scriptures, oh my goodness, I don't believe that. What's time to repent and to take that because it's something that was missing in my experience as a believer. Hello, salvation is progressive. I appropriate my salvation as I understand more and more what God expects me to be. And I expect more and more of what God needs me to be by the Word of God. So the Word of God shows me in the areas in which I'm not a believer. And so I had to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I blew it here. I didn't understand it. I was too ignorant. I'm opening up so that I can take a new step into the freedom that He has provided. See, this is where the power of the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty. Whenever the Spirit of the Lord comes to me and talks to me about some of the things that I don't believe, I had to open up and say, I'm wrong. Lord, you're right. I believe, and I'm going to take that I didn't take before. Why? Because that's what He wants. That's His plan from the beginning. That's the way we please Him. We please Him how? By doing the things? No, we please Him by faith. Now there is another side of that, and we're going to talk about. I'm talking about walking by faith now. And meditation on the Word of God, on God's promises, is critical for our ability to walk by faith. Do you understand that? You see, unless you connect with the source and charge your thinking, your mind, your soul properly with the right ideas and thinking, they are going to be going all over the place. This is why, you know, the weapon of our warfare are mighty. But, you know, you have to use the weapons. And the weapon is casting down this bad stuff and bringing up the good stuff. Anything that is negative, that says that you don't have it, that you cannot, that you know, any of those things there, you have to say no to that, and you have to be watchful for that, and any time that they raise up their dirty head, you push them down again. And every time that instead you realize that that happened, you substitute it, you change it with the Word of God. But there have to be times when you take those things. You go and close your eyes because, you know, another senses, isn't it? They distract you. And you go inside yourself. And you start meditating on what the Word says. And then start seeing what the Word says as true in your life. You know, after 5 minutes, maybe if you're really slow, after 20 minutes, you're going to feel different. And when you do that long enough, you got charged enough, that thing is going to stay with you because your battery is nicely charged and you are not drained. You know, we don't have much time left here. No, 2 minutes. You know, we had to realize all the negative programming that we have, contrary to what the Word of God says. Reprogram ourselves from out of these negative ideas that have been put on us, like, you know, I'm a sinner, limiting beliefs that you this that much you can do, or whatever. You had to start going beyond the limit, entering God's kingdom. This is what Jesus came. He came to preach the kingdom, not religion. The kingdom of God, when we start working and living in the kingdom of God, our life is going to be different. He came to establish a new covenant with us. You know what it means, a covenant? A covenant means that two people are coming together. And, you know, today, people don't understand covenant because, but in the Old Testament, they understood that. Two people come together and they establish a relationship, a blood relationship with each other. They get cut and they get the blood of the veins going through each other so that they actually will be like one person, they have the same blood. And the implication of that on the physical is that they are no anymore isolated or separated. That when one of them needed something, the other one would be there to back him up. When one was weak, the other one is going to come in and take over. This is what God established with us with Jesus' death. It's a new covenant by which God is going to back us up for anything that we need. And we have to be connected with him. As we are connected with him, he's going to be there to back us up. Anyway, we should be moving on and allowing the presence of God, the power of God, to be working in us as his word is taking over our thinking, our emotions, our heart, everything, and empower us. There is nothing more empowering than Christianity, than following the Word of God. But we have to understand that sometimes what we think is Christianity is not. And so instead of empowering us, disempower us. Instead of putting into freedom, it's bondage, because it's religion. And sometimes just a little idea can play that game to you. So, I'm close. I wanted to say something else, but then it's going to be long. Are you following what I'm saying? See, God has done such an unbelievable thing through Jesus for us. Beyond our imagination. That today Christianity, I was sharing with somebody else, much of today Christianity is not much different than when Jesus came. When Jesus came, there were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees didn't believe anything, they were the liberals. The Pharisees were the legalistic, you know, the just religious guys. You know, they were caring about stuff that was completely unimportant, and they were missing the real point. I think, unfortunately, nothing has changed in the world, even here for Christianity. There is much legalism going on, very little power, very little kingdom. You know? And the reason is because religion got in the way. Men's ideas and tradition got in the way. And that's the way the flesh works. That's the way that you should expect. And so there are lots of men's ideas that are so accepted by most believers that are really wrong. And they are disempowering believers instead of... This is why Christianity is not exploding on the world. At the beginning, there was better understanding in a way because it was less regimented, there was less history behind, and so people wouldn't be taught so much stuff. See, it's the teaching the problems, produces the problem. Instead of the experience of the power of God. Jesus said it, and with this I close. There are two things, and I put it on my website, that we need to grow spiritually. Knowing the scripture and the power of God. You know, if you know the scripture without the power of God, you end up being religious. If you think you know the power of God, but you know the scripture, you get messed up. You need a balance of the two. And the Holy Spirit is going to wonder, it's going to guide you and teach you and help you to understand the difference. And with that, we close for today. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Let's pray that God helps us to make those decisions, to spend the time with Him, to meditate on His Word, to learn, to develop our ability to walk in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is not just being weird like somebody thinks. It's be able to understand the spiritual truth that has to go and deal with the issues of life so that we are going to be victorious in our experiences. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we just praise you. Thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you to hear and to receive from you, Lord, the understanding. And with that understanding, to receive you the power, from you the power, Lord, to have victory in our life and to be like Jesus, more and more. We thank you, Lord, that we can look at you and not ourselves. We thank you, Lord, that your word lifts us up. And Lord, bring us always from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from victory to victory. And we just thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Allah.